beginning our new series for the month of March, and we've got 5 wonderful Sundays to go. And I'm really excited about this whole series because I've titled it Transitions, Change is Good. And we're going to be looking at the first 2 Sundays at what exactly transition is and some key transitions that we go through in life. And then towards the end, we'll build up towards Easter, because on the 31st of March, the very last Sunday of this month, is Easter Sunday. And Aaron and I were talking this morning. I said, Aaron, we need to see this place packed out Easter Sunday. So you got family, friends, neighbors, uncle, aunts, dogs, cats, whatever. Anything moves, bring it in. All right? Anything. You know, when you're planting a church, as long as it moves. Dogs, yeah. And we will speak to it. You know, anything that moves, bring it in. All right? You can hold me to that. And you can fight with the God on the outside there. But what I'm saying, what an opportunity for us to let people come in and hear the amazing news of what the resurrected Christ does for us, okay? And so we're going to build up this series. And what's going to be there amazing is in a couple of Sundays, we're going to look at the exchange of the cross. And it's so linked to the song that you were singing and the song earlier on about Jesus being the healer, the redeemer. And so I can see in the spirit how God is going to touch each of your lives, in as much as you connect with him and allow him to break in and break out of your life. It's going to be amazing. And I'm believing for God to restore, to redeem, to heal, to break curses, to break stuff that's been hanging on to our lives so we can truly live in the freedom God's called us to. Amen? All right? So that's where this whole transition series is going, and I'm looking forward to that. Now, transitions today that we're looking at is the transition that involves our transformation. And, you know, every one of us knows that transition is a process. The journey of your life is navigated through a series of transitions, and these transitions have the potential to either elevate you or to completely destroy you. And how we navigate and how we negotiate at these transitional times of our life are so key. And next week, we're going to share from our life the transitions, the key transitions in our life, and the choices, decisions, and courage we need to have to make them. And each of you will develop your own transition timeline of where you have been and where God's taking you. And so we're going to really help you practically. But, you know, so for every one of us, as we look at life, and life is a process of beginnings and endings. So it's not just one beginning and one ending, but there's a constant evolution of change. I know God created the world, but our hearts and our lives keep evolving. And so we need to see that, understand that, and know the seasons that we're in. Seasons are about transition. You know, maybe you're not that familiar with them here, but in London, when it's winter, it's dreary, the sun goes down at 3 o'clock and comes up at, comes up at sort of 8 o'clock in the morning, you have very, very many dark hours. But when we all look forward to the spring, and then from spring we look forward to the summer, you look from the season that you are in to the season that is to come. And so that transition is so key. There's so much preparation. Right now in London, it's called the spring season, and everyone starts cleaning their homes like they've never done for the rest of the year. And, you know, they're cleaning out things, throwing out rubbish and all that kind of stuff. It's a seasonal thing that happens in different countries. And so transitions are so key, and for us to identify what we need to do at the point of transition is really, really important. Today, we're going to address 3 key transitions that every one of us has to go through. And I'd like you to turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 3, verse 17 to 18. It says, "We are free of it, all of us, nothing between us and God, our faces shining with the brightness of His face. And so we are transfigured much like the Messiah. Our lives gradually," everybody say gradually, "gradually becoming brighter." Everybody say brighter. "And more beautiful," beautiful. "More beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like Him." And so we see this ever-evolving person of Christ in our lives. Now, if you're looking at an old version, it talks about going from glory to glory. Today, most of us don't know what glory to glory is. They know who Gloria is, but glory to glory means nothing. All right? So I've taken the Message Bible, which makes the language contemporary and one that we can connect with. So transition defined, it is the process of change from one state to another. But it is from one state to another. And how you manage these transitions from this one state to another is critical to the continued success in your life. A constant journey of continuous evolving and constant change. Everybody say change is good. Change is necessary. And I need to embrace change. Some of the most stubborn people do not embrace change. They never change what they wear. They never change what they eat. They never change which side they comb their parting. Sometimes they never change. And it's like, oh, I don't want to know you. But change is good. And we need to learn to embrace change because change gives you the opportunity for something new. Now, the only thing you can't change when you're married is your spouse and your children. That stays permanent, all right? Write that down. And so God created this world. It did not evolve. Pastor Ian said, we can change. See you, sweetie. God. I know. I've been there. I've done that. God created this world. It did not evolve. However, the evolution of our hearts is an ongoing process. So today, the first transition that I want to look at is the miraculous transition from the miraculous to the natural. There was a lot of competition before you were conceived. Now, we won't go into the bios of that, the biology of it, but you know what I'm talking about. And I want you to understand that you and I are an absolute miracle. Millions of these little guys swimming all over the place, trying to make it to the target. And depends who gets there first, determines who comes out last. And you and I didn't just happen. But this little fellow finds that little thing he needs to find in the right place, at the right time, in the right spot, and boom, all of a sudden, Ian's created. His life comes into being in his mother's womb. Isn't that amazing? And that is an absolute miracle. An absolute miracle. So I want you to see yourself, and I want you to look at each other and say, each of us are absolute miracles of God. And so from as not existing, all of a sudden, boom, something miraculous has happened. And Psalm 139 and verse 14 says this so beautifully. It says, oh yes, you shaped me first inside, then out, formed me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God, you're breathtaking, body and soul. I am marvelously made. That's amazing. Marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation. I mean, David had good self-esteem. Some of us said, oh yeah, I was born, but you know, I'm such a useless. I don't know why God made me. Look at me. I mean, David was here looking at himself. God, I'm... And he never even knew the biology we know today. And he was saying, God, you created me. You fashioned me in my mother's womb. Another version says, you knit me together. God sitting down in a rocking chair, knitting you together in your mother's womb. Isn't that amazing? The beautiful picture the Bible paints for us. You know exactly how I was made. Bit by bit. How I was sculpted from nothing, here's a miracle, into something. Isn't that beautiful? From nothing into something. Like an open book, you watched me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life all prepared even before I lived one of them. I mean, God's view of our lives is eternal. It is not restricted by time and by space. And you know what's amazing? It means that before I was even conceived, God was thinking about me. Before your parents even probably came together, God had already conceived you in his imagination and had planned and purposed your life. Isn't that amazing? So from nothing to something, in an instant we come. And that transition is a supernatural, miraculous work of God that he does that brings us into this world. From the moment of conception, 46 chromosomes with 30,000 genes combine to determine all your physical characteristics, your sex, your facial features, body type, color of hair, eyes and skin. All of this is working together to make you. Isn't that amazing? Even more amazingly, intelligence and personality, the way you think, the way you feel, were already in place within your genetic code. At the moment of conception, you were essentially and uniquely you. There's only one you. And so when we get a glimpse of who we are in Christ, of how God has fashioned and formed our lives, that first transition from conception is just something outstanding. And I don't think our human minds can quite appreciate just what God does. But if we could really see what was happening on the inside, you'd be throwing a party. If it was me, I'd want someone to throw a party for me. Wouldn't want one for you. The transition from the state of conception to the form of a baby in the mother's womb is a miracle. And you and I are those miracles. Amen. Don't lose sight of that. What's the next transition? As you grow and develop in your mother's womb, you come from the natural world into this world. Having been formed miraculously, you are now born into this natural world. Out of the darkness of the womb, you come into the darkness of this world. And I'll qualify that in a minute. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 2 says, there is a time to be born and there is a time to die. And so your birth, well, let's start with your conception. And your birth was determined by God. The moment, the day, the hour, whatever it is, God had planned that for you. You are not a mistake. You are not, something that happened. Somebody said to me, what about victims? What about rape victims? What about people who did not want to have, choose out of their own free will to have a child? And what happens then if a child is conceived? I knew you in your mother's womb. Before even one of your days was numbered, I knew you. Every person that comes in, that is conceived, is of God. No matter how that conception came about. Because God purposes life. The events surrounding our births have a dramatic impact on our lives. And I'm talking about what's happening in your family, what's happening around you, the things, the emotional things, the well-being of the mother. Even science has confirmed that a baby in a mother's womb can hear, experience, sense, feel a lot of what is happening on the outside of that world. And what happens there impacts your life. And very often, as we will go through in the next few weeks studying how these things can be broken, sometimes so many things that have happened to us at birth, in the mother's womb, at the point of birth, have an impact on our lives today. And I know how the Word of God can change that, how it can reverse whatever you may be struggling with so as you can be set free into the way God wants you to be. But what was the darkness that I talked about that we are born into? The Bible teaches us that we are all born in sin. Hey, but if we're all born in sin, what about Jesus? Listen to this. This is the amazing thing about Jesus. Since Jesus had no literal biological father, how was Jesus conceived? By the Holy Spirit. So since he had no literal biological father, the sin nature was not passed down to him. Physiologically and biologically, he had a human mother. And therefore, he was fully human, but without sin. His bloodline was unblemished because he was conceived supernaturally. Colossians chapter 2 verse 9 says, For in him dwells all the fullness of deity in bodily form. Jesus received his human nature from Mary, but he received his divine nature through God and the Holy Spirit. Therefore, Jesus is both God and man. He was sinless, had no original sin, and was both fully God and fully man. But not so with us. We were born in sin because our sin is carried down through from Adam. And so every one of us, even a child, is born a sinner. Which is why every one of us, no matter whether you're born in a so-called Christian home, an Islamic home, a Hindu home, or an atheist home, you need to find your journey with God. You need to come to that place and point in your life where you make a personal commitment to accept Jesus Christ, ask Him to forgive you of your sins, and there is a turnaround in your life. Now, this is what brings me on to the supernatural birth. So we had the miraculous birth. We had the natural birth into this world of sin. Now we have the supernatural birth. And that is what John 3:16 talks about. There was a Pharisee, and a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, but no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Verily I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born again when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Verily I truly I say unto you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again." It was not a suggestion, it was not a recommendation. Jesus said, if you want to go from the natural world to the supernatural world, if you want to make that transition, then how do you do it? You must be born again. "The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." And so we see here is what we call is the regeneration of your spirit. When you come to Jesus Christ, when you hear what Jesus can do for you, when you know that he can forgive you of all your sin, when you understand that you need the forgiveness of God because your relationship with God has been compromised, it is broken, there is something that separates you from an open relationship with God, Jesus reconciles and reconnects us with God. But how do we get reconnected? When we acknowledge him as the Son of God, when we acknowledge that he is the one that can take away our sin, and we ask him to forgive us, and we say, "God, because I know that you are the only one who can take away my sin, because you didn't just die for me, but you died and you rose again, and you are alive today working in my life and around this world, you now can deal with my sin even today." When Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says all the sin of this world, every bit of the sin of this world, not just those that go to church, yes, not just those that know Jesus as their God, it's every human being on this planet Earth. Every human being that has no connection with God, has a broken relationship with God, they can come into a reconciled relationship with God through what Jesus has done because of what he did on the cross. And we're going to uncover that over these next few weeks. So because of what Jesus has done, I have access to the supernatural. If I reject that, I live in the state of natural with no hope of going into eternity with God. I still have an eternity. That eternity is being away from God. And the word we use is hell. Not being in God's presence is heaven. Being away from the presence of God and the person of God for eternity is hell. And so this is why we are passionate about sharing the message. Not because we want converts, but because they're either going to go to heaven or to hell. You don't come back in any other form. You are born today, and the Bible says that we will die one day, and then it is the judgment seat. So our supernatural birth, when we are born of the Spirit, out of the darkness of this world, into the glorious kingdom of light. So we transition. When you make that decision to follow Jesus, you transition from darkness in an instant into the kingdom of light. That is a supernatural work of God. That word is regeneration. Everybody say regeneration. You've just learned something new. That is the miracle that God does. The miracle at the point where he brought you, formed you in your mother's womb, and now is another miracle in your life where he takes you from your natural state, regenerates your spirit, and gives you a new spirit, and you are born again. Isn't that amazing? So every one of us that has made a heartfelt decision to follow Jesus has done that. And that is a permanent thing that God does. You cannot lose it. You cannot earn it. You cannot buy it. You cannot exchange it. It is there for you simply if you say, "Jesus is the Lord of my life." You choose to follow him and you follow through with that commitment. And so God is with us. To be born again is a supernatural act of God. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13 says, "God rescued us from dead end alleys and dark dungeons. He set us up in the kingdom of his Son. He loves us so much. The Son who got us out of the pit when we were in it, got rid of the sin we were doomed to keep repeating." Now, here's the supernatural work that God gets us out of the pit of sin. He redeems us from a life of sin, from the nature of sin. He buys us back and redeems us and restores us and makes us in right relationship with God again through His Son, Jesus Christ. So you now have direct access to God. You don't need a priest, a pastor, a teacher, a prophet, or anybody to connect you with God. You as a child, as a son of God, can just call out to Him, and Jesus is as close as the mention of His name. Can you say Jesus? Can you say Jesus? He's right there. Wherever you are, whatever you're going through, good, bad, or ugly, Jesus is there with you. The Bible says you and I are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So God, Jesus is not sitting, you know, sitting somewhere out there. God is in you by His Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? The presence of God dwells within you, and He is as close as the mention of His name. The Bible says that Jesus is interceding on your behalf constantly before the Father. All the time He's interceding. When you're struggling, when you are going through hell, Jesus is interceding for us, offering prayer to the Father so we can make it through life. It's amazing. It's amazing. However, whilst there is a supernatural act of God, there is also the responsibility of man. And this is where the whole issue of repentance comes in. And this I want you to understand so you can live your life right. We all need also to repent from our lives of sin and darkness. Repentance is what we need to do. The regeneration is what God does. But the repentance is what you and I need to do. It's changing of the state of our mind. And so you can be born again. And you can experience the miraculous supernatural work of God in your life. But if you don't live a repented life, transition again. If there aren't those constant transitions in your life, in your behavior, in how you think and who you are, then you will not live the fulfilled life. The Hebrew word repentance speaks of a change of direction, a U-turn that's sometimes used, or a turning around, a returning. But the Greek word speaks of repentance. The Greek word is metanoia. Everybody say metanoia. You've learned a Greek word. So you've learned two good words today. One is regeneration, which is a supernatural act of you being born again. The other one is metanoia, which is a Greek word for repentance. It is to change one's mind. So repentance is not just a U-turn, because what we do is we just keep turning around. God, forgive me. You're good. And you come back again. And you think, God, my life's spinning. My life's spinning. What's happening? Why am I not getting out of this circle of sin? But, well, I'm feeling really giddy now. But repentance is a turning around with a change of mindset. I used to sin. I used to abuse. I used to watch unnecessary stuff. I used to listen to gossip. I used to hate. I used to not be able to forgive. But now, because of what Jesus has done for me, I want to turn away from that. Oh, but I'm still thinking of all the past. But no, this is where I'm renewing my mind. I'm saying, God, help me. I'm going to think right. I'm going to think right so I can live right, so my actions are right. And that's where God's Holy Spirit comes in and empowers you. The grace of God empowers you and moves you away from your life of sin. And there is that struggle Paul talks about. He says, but I press on towards the goal to which Jesus has called me. My life of sin is not the goal. That's the pit that He got me out of, the old self. But I press on. And as I press on, God's Holy Spirit is right there with me. And every time I renew my thinking, repent of my way of thinking, I change little by little, moving from one state to another. A transition of your life out of the pit. So God's sovereign act, our responsibility, work together. Too many of us think, God save me, I'll just stay the way I am. You know what? You can stay the way you are. And you know what? You will make it into heaven. But you're going to have hell on earth. You decide. You decide you want to change. Don't go up for prayer. Well, pray for me again. Listen, I know I'm. You'll pray for you again. But you've got to work with God's Holy Spirit to help you to break through and break out of those struggles. And in these next few weeks, we're going to teach you truths from the Bible that will set you free from, like, you know what a curse is? Do you know what a curse is? It's not just curse literally means to somebody that undermines you. But a curse is like a hook on your back. And every time you're trying to break away from the pit, it just pulls you back. And you think, but Pastor, help me. Sometimes we need to break the curse in our lives. We don't know where those curses came from. We'll discover where they came from. And as we study in these next few weeks, you will see supernaturally what God will do in each of your lives, setting you free from stuff that you're never meant to carry into your new walk. can tell you the numbers and hundreds of people that we've worked through and taught this through, and they've come through free the other side. Healings have taken place. People's demeanor has changed. There was this young girl who was a young girl. She could never make eye contact with us, and we were discipling her. And Naomi and I, we were quite young in our leadership, but we discipled this young girl, and she would never make eye contact with us. And we went through a whole series of discipleship with her, and eventually we came to the end. And then one day we visited her at home, and we went to at home to pray for her. And all of a sudden she began to manifest. She was doing crazy stuff. She was a believer. She loved God. She served God. But she was doing crazy stuff manifesting. And then God gave us an insight into the curse that was over her life. The words that her beloved father had spoken into her life. Words of undermining. He loved her, but he spoke horrible words over life. Words that kept her bound. And it just ate into her. And until she was set free from those curses that were spoken over her life, that girl today is on the mission field. You look at her today, she makes eye contact with you. She can look up and say, I'm free. But for years, she walked like this. How are you today? I'm good, thank you. Are you having fun? Yeah, it's so good. I'm really having fun. She was bound. She was under the weight of the curse of words that had been spoken. Simple prayer, identifying what went wrong, set her free. Whatever you're going through, know that there is a way out. Repentance is a firm inward decision, a change of mind. Therefore, repentance is not just an emotional, ooh, I feel like repenting, but it is a decision that you and I take. So repentance is what? A decision. It's an inner change of mind resulting in an outward turning back or turning around to face and to move in a completely new direction. Our lives are purpose for greatness. Say, my life is purpose for greatness. And my existence is not an accident. You need to know that. I want to end with this. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. It says, but you, that's talking about you, all right? You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. So I want to pick up three keywords we're going to do. Number one, you are chosen. Number two, you are royal and holy. You are God's special possession. So that you are purpose, so that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. You ever been on the dance floor in a discotheque? If you haven't, it's a good experience. I have had weddings. You know, you take center stage. Everywhere around is dark, and then you step into the middle, and the lights are on you, and they're flashing, and you go for it. Now, that was my bus stop imitation. And you go for it. And, you know, you were in darkness. Nobody knew who you were. You were standing there looking at that pretty girl. I'd like to dance with her, wouldn't I? And then she calls you. And then you walk on, and all of a sudden you're in the light, and you're thinking, man, this is really cool. And you're grooving, and the music's pop. Out of the darkness, God called you. You, center stage, light song, music. Let's go. You with me? That's what God does for us. And then, do you want to go leave the center stage? You want to keep going? You want lights, camera, action? Come on. But some of us are like, and God said, come on. I was on the dance floor. My wife doesn't know this, but you know. It's like those girls who dance on handbags. That's not the purpose that God has for you. He called you into a relationship with not a handbag. I feel sorry for girls who dance around handbags. Have any of you ever danced around handbags? Okay, that's an English thing. Okay, let me just quickly tell you this, okay? In England, when girls go to a discotheque or to a party somewhere and no guys are dancing with them, they can't leave their handbags somewhere. So they all put their handbags in the middle because the handbags are really precious to girls. It's safe. And then they all dance around the handbag. Waiting for somebody to pick them. And then as somebody gets their attention. Not that I've ever been there or done that. They pick up, neither has Naomi done it. They pick up a handbag and then, you know, they pair off and dance. And eventually there's one little, you know, ugly Betty standing there. Dancing with a handbag. Okay, that's dancing with a handbag for you. All right, but listen, we don't need to dance with handbags because God calls us into his glorious life. Amen. Isn't that good? Amen. And he wants to dance with us. He wants us to enjoy life. He's got music, lights, action, everything going for us. And even though we're struggling and going through it all, we're in the kingdom of light. For we, Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Jesus Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you have called each one of us. In every one of our transitions, you have been there. And Lord God, I pray, as we transition in this month of March, the things that you're going to do for us are amazing. I pray right now for each one of us that we would see the beautiful arena that you have called us into. From darkness into light. Help us to live and enjoy the light into which you have called us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Call me, and I will respond to your call. And in the state that I am, I will come to you just as I am. And enjoy